Deborah was still scowling, but at least she had the native wit to play along. She opened her car door as I cheerfully waved to Stabon and climbed in. "Wait!" Stabon called. I glanced at him with an expression of polite interest. "I swear to God, I don't want to find that shit ever again," he said. He looked at me for a moment, perhaps hoping I would loosen up and hand him a fistful of Krugerrands, but as I said, that cruller was weighing heavily on my mind, and I didn't relent. Stabon licked his lips, then turned away quickly and jammed a key into the lock of the large double door. "Go ahead. I wait out here."
"If you're sure," I said.
"Come on, man. What you want from me? Go ahead."
I stood up and smiled at Deborah. "He's sure," I said. She just shook her head at me, a strange combination of little sister exasperation and cop sour humor. She walked around the car and led the way in through the door, and I followed. Inside, the arena was cool and dark, which shouldn't have surprised me. It was, after all, a hockey rink early in the morning. No doubt Stabon knew where the light switch was, but he hadn't offered to tell us. Deb unsnapped the large flashlight from her belt and swung the beam around the ice. I held my breath as the light picked out one goalie's net, then the other. She swept back around the perimeter one time, slowly, pausing once or twice, then back to me. "Nothing," she said. "Jack shit." "You sound disappointed." She snorted at me and headed back out. I stayed in the middle of the rink, feeling the cool radiate up off the ice and thinking my happy thoughts. Or, more precisely, not quite my happy thoughts. Because as Deb turned to go out, I heard a small voice from somewhere over my shoulder, a cool and dry chuckle, a familiar feather touch just under the threshold of hearing. And as dear Deborah departed, I stood motionless there on the ice, closed my eyes and listened to what my ancient friend had to say. It wasn't much, just a sub-whisper, a hint of unvocal, but I listened. I heard him chuckle and mutter soft and terrible things in one ear, while the other ear let me know that Deborah had told Stabon to come in and turn on the lights, which moments later he did, as the small, off-voice whisper rose in a sudden crescendo of rattling jolly humor and good-natured horror. "What is it?" I asked politely. My only answer was a surge of hungry amusement. I had no idea what it meant. But I wasn't greatly surprised when the screaming started. Stabon was really terrible at screaming. It was a hoarse, strangled grunting that sounded more like he was being violently sick than anything else. The man brought no sense of music to the job. I opened my eyes. It was impossible to concentrate under these circumstances, and anyway, there was nothing more to hear. The whispering had stopped when the screaming began. After all, the screams said it all, didn't they? And so I opened my eyes just in time to see Stabon catapult out of the little closet at the far end of the arena and vault onto the rink. He went clattering across the ice, slipping and sliding and moaning hoarsely in Spanish, and finally hurling headlong into the boards. He scrabbled up and skittered toward the door, grunting with horror. A small splotch of blood smeared the ice where he had fallen. Deborah came quickly through the door, her gun drawn, and Stabon clawed past her, stumbling out into the light of day.
"What is it?"
Deborah said, holding her weapon ready. I tilted my head, hearing one last echo of the final dry chuckle. And now, with the grunting horror still ringing in my ears, I understood. "I believe Stabon has found something," I said.